The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our expert slot, and this week we're covering all things mortgages, switches, equity releases, and in studio with me is someone with over 30 years' experience in the mortgage industry, Sean Corbett, Director of SYS Mortgages. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, a couple of things I just mentioned there in passing. Switching, how difficult is it and how straightforward is it to understand the products on offer?
It's not difficult, and there are more and more products on offer out there in the marketplace now. So it's the trick is get expert advice, because you want to do it right. Is it best to stay where you are with your current lender, or is it best to go with a new lender? There's things out there now like green mortgages and so on.
Yeah. First general question, variable or fixed?
Personally, I'd go fixed. They are coming down and they are better valued than variable at the moment. If you're looking at variable type of mortgage like a tracker, then I'd be sticking with a tracker if you've got one.
Okay, but the problem is, in an uncertain world, you never know what's going to happen to the base interest rate, and that will be reflected in the variable rate. So with fixed, you're fixed.
With fixed, you've got definites, i.e. what you're paying on a monthly basis is what you pay, and no matter what happens, you're paying that amount for a period of time. Even people like Avant Money, for instance, you can fix your mortgage up to 30 years now, believe it or not.
Now, what about green mortgages? I mean, what qualifications do you have to get a green mortgage?
It's the energy rating on your property, and it's typically B3 or better to get a green mortgage. Now, green mortgages are a new thing. They've been around for a couple of years now. So certainly people who bought new build properties 5 years ago should be considering green rate mortgages now.
I mentioned equity release from a property. Who qualifies for that?
It varies. It depends on what you want the equity release for. An equity release is basically releasing a portion of the equity in your property.
The value of your property has soared, maybe. You've got a relatively small mortgage, so you own far more of your property than if there had been no inflation, for example. You might own a big chunk. So therefore, the bank will give you some equity for what? What kind of things?
It varies, and there's some great stories out there at the moment. You can even release money for fertility treatment. I'm seeing a lot personally of people who are going through relationship breakups where one person's buying out the other person. The main reason for equity release is doing works on your property, i.e. extending your property, because there aren't a lot of new properties out there. So
sure,
people are extending.
And in fact,
now,
when you're spending it on that, you're actually enhancing the value as well simultaneously. 100%. Whereas in the other things, paying for school fees and so on, that might be a long-term investment, but it's not. It doesn't have an immediate payback to the borrower. Now, do you have to change lenders if you're getting equity release?
No, you can actually approach your existing lender for an equity release and see what options they're offering. And it's a bit like switching your mortgage. Then you're better off going out and getting some advice as to, is there a better option with a new lender with equity release and switching your provider? But if you are going to a new provider, you have to take your original mortgage plus your equity release to a new lender.
Okay, some of the questions coming in. I had a five-year fixed rate mortgage with Ulster Bank, but it transferred to PTSB when Ulster exited the Irish market. 5 years have now passed and my mortgage is about to roll to a new interest rate. Would I be entitled to any switcher offers, bonuses from PTSB?
Well, the great news there for that listener is PTSB made a recent move where they're now offering the current products to existing customers. They were one of the few lenders who had a different range of products for existing customers.
So you got a better deal if you were new coming to them.
100%, but not now. But again,
is that to do with the law telling them they have to treat everybody equally, or is it just a marketing idea?
Yeah, I was always shocked, and they've just come in line with other lenders who do offer you a full range of products within their product range. So I think the other lenders basically forced them. It's competition out there now.
My two children are now in full employment and are both renting in Dublin. I'm considering buying a two-bed apartment and renting it to them as an investment for my retirement. The mortgage would be $2,600 per month over 10 years. I would get $1,600 rent from them and top up the rest as an alternative to pension. What do you think?
That's a difficult one. And I certainly wouldn't be telling any buy-to-let lender that I was moving my children into the property. They'll go off the market rent that's out there at the moment. And the problem you've got there is if it's €1,600 per month, the rent you'll get on that property, you'd find it very, very difficult to get a buy-to-let mortgage where you're paying €2,600. So the lenders wouldn't allow
it. You're saying just buy it and say nothing?
I'm saying buy it and see what the market rent is, because they'll value it based on that. And then as long as the mortgage has been paid, the lender's happy.
I have a mortgage on my house. I got a top up to renovate in 2020 of 40k. Can I get another top up in 2025, 30 to 40k? I have three kids and I have no childcare costs. Do I have to declare dependence?
The problem you've got is lenders are fairly forensic when it comes to mortgages. So they'll probably look at your bank statements and realise you do have children. And technically, yes, you do have to state if you've got dependence. Now, can you get another top up? Yes, you can, depending on affordability. And again, I'd look around the marketplace to see what's
how do they actually work that out? What do they look at? It's obviously your take-home pay at the end of the month and where that has to go, what it has to spread to cover.
Yep, absolutely. And every lender, it differs whether you're a single person, a joint couple, or whether you've got children. And the net disposable income is what comes into it when a lender is assessing you for a mortgage. So children aren't the best way if you're getting a first mortgage. I'd get my mortgage and then have children, because lenders do penalise you heavily for having a family.
But don't they have to work out whether or not it's sustainable? I mean, when they're looking at people's ability to repay, you get a couple, say, who are intending to have children. I mean, you don't buy a house as a couple unless you think that's somewhere on the horizon. Yeah. Now, what kind of a stress test do the lenders operate in that situation?
For children?
No, I mean, they're saying you've got two incomes at the moment. That's how we work out how much we're going to give you. But they think, why are they buying this house if there's only the two of them?
Yeah, and they don't do a stress test. They've got, they base it on a couple buying a property. And people, you're talking four times income is what you can have now under normal central bank rules. And typically, a couple on, say, 40k each would qualify for the four times. If they had three children, it might be a different story.
Okay. Sorry, question's bouncing around a bit here on my screen. I have a question for your mortgage expert. I'm about to receive a lump sum. Considering paying off the mortgage fully, if it covers it, what to consider? Will there be any hidden costs, or is the amount listed on my banking app the actual amount I'd have to pay? Any reasons why not to consider using the money in this way?
Absolutely. And the way bank interest rates are at the moment, you might be better off paying off your mortgage. But the trick there is to ring your lender and ask for a breakage fee statement, because if you're on a fixed rate, there may be penalties to pay it off early. So that's, I'd contact your lender.
So that balance that you see on your account may not be the break charge.
Absolutely, because if you're coming off a fixed rate, typically before it ends, then you'll pay a penalty.
I have a question I don't really understand. I'll read it to you, though. I'm on a critical employment permit and just got a stamp 4 visa. What are my chances of getting a mortgage?
You've every chance. Even on a stamp 1 critical skills or a stamp 4 visa, you will qualify for a mortgage.
That's someone coming in with specific skills which merit getting a visa.
Absolutely. Critical skills is typically accountants, somebody working in pharmaceutical industry, and then it does convert to a stamp 4. Stamp 4 is typically issued just before citizenship.
I currently do not have a mortgage at all. It's been paid off 20 years now. Would I be able to get an equity release from some lender?
100% you would. It's like taking out a new mortgage. Yeah, absolutely. 100% you would.
Should I change from a tracker to a fixed rate at 3.75%?
I personally wouldn't, for the simple reason its likelihood is interest rates are going to fall further in the next year. So your tracker will be directly affected by further falls.
Yeah, I'm a tracker on a tracker ECB plus 0.85%.
Yeah,
which is less than 1%.
Absolutely.
Added on.
Again, I'd be sticking with the tracker. That's best advice now currently.
And that person has 7.5 years left on the mortgage. Stick with it for the 7.5 years.
I'd certainly stick with it. The minimum term for a mortgage is 5 years, so certainly stick with it for another 2 years and see what rates are doing at the time.
My son's tracker mortgage has gone from 600 euro in 2021 to over 1,000 now, going down much slower than it went up. Why is that happening?
Well, we had 10 rate rises by the ECB, and now we've had rate reductions, but they're coming down a lot slower than they went up. So we had a there was a fairly interesting rate shock over a period of 18 months. But now that seems back in line. So what I would suggest your son is see what's out there in the marketplace. If you're on a rate of between 3 and 4%, you're probably not in a bad position.
Now, the lenders are awash with money they want to lend. And the problem is a shortage of housing, be it apartments or houses, to buy. In a sense, are they fueling inflation in housing by having so much money to lend? I mean, we saw it in the Celtic Tiger years. And I'm just wondering, is the same thing happening to some degree?
Yeah, and there is a bit of a battle going on out there at the moment. Bank of Ireland reduced their rates last week. AIB reduced their rates 3 weeks before. Avant Money reduced their rates. So they are awash with money. And with new lenders coming to the market now, there is a good bit of competition out there. So it's, but it is fueling the house market.
What's the spread in the competition? Like, how much might you be paying versus, you know, at the lowest and the highest?
Well, you mentioned green rates. Green rates now are starting at 3% with AIB and 3.1% with Bank of Ireland. The likes of non-green rates starting at 3.4% with Avant Money. But there seems to be a lot of bias towards people who are borrowing 250,000 or more. They get a better rate as well with the lenders.
All right, very interesting stuff. Sean Corbett, Director of SYS Mortgages, thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.